This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hordano Diablo.
And this week, we are joined on the show by filmmaker Jason Utes.
Hi.
Welcome, buddy.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I preface this real quick. Me and Jason have known each other, God, going on 10 years now. And so if I refer to him as Cutesy, that's his nickname. So it's from his last name, Utes. So if I don't call him Jason, I call him Cutesy. Don't get confused, idiots.
That's adorable.
Cutesy Meanskins is actually the full name. Cutesy Meanskins.
Yeah, we have Jeff Hart to thank for that.
Drummer of Worship This, our dear friend.
So Jason, why do you hate cheese?
You know, I really wish that I knew. When I was a kid, I apparently wasn't picky at all. And then some sort of switch just went off one day and I got extremely picky. And I recovered from most of it, but cheese, I just have never been able to get over.
Is it just sandwich cheese, shredded cheese, melted cheese?
Pretty much cheese in any form, but there are weird exceptions that I'll make that make no sense. Like grilled cheese I can tolerate.
Okay.
Kraft macaroni and cheese sometimes. Mozzarella. If I'm drunk, I'll eat a piece of pizza, but for the most part I just can't stand any of it.
so this is weird to say for the first time ever, a former best friend of mine up until about a year ago, he was like one of my best friends for like 10 years, he hates cheese as well. And I never understood it. I always ridiculed him for it. But like there were certain exceptions for him. Like he said the only time he liked cheese was on pizza. So do you not really like pizza?
I love pizza, but I get it without cheese, which I realize for most people makes it not pizza at all. But
it is, but whatever. I mean, it's just a different kind. I get it. We at my job that I'm currently laid off from, we have a vegan pizza that what's awesome about it is like every time we cook one, I'll make one for myself because you know, we cook it in the wood fired oven and these fresh vegetables get so, you know, the aromatic of that pizza without cheese is 10 times better than a pizza with cheese because Even if you're using a minimal amount of cheese, it masks the flavor of other shit. So unless you're like trying to eat like something with blue cheese, like that has a very pronounced flavor, whatever else you're mixing with cheese is gonna lose some of its stuff, you know, like some of it's the best part of it. And I just something that I learned through cooking these pizzas. I get it to a degree. I don't like cheese as much as I used to, but I still love it.
It's one of those things where I sincerely wish that I did like it because it complicates life a lot. Like if you ever go in the freezer section anywhere, like you can maybe find two meals in the entire aisle that have no cheese.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the episode with Jeff Russell talking about when he's on tour, like when we're out filming and stuff, that same situation comes up where like people are really nice. They have food ready for us. And like inevitably it's always like ham and cheese sandwiches and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Which I can work around, but I mean, makes me feel rude a lot because I have to turn a lot of stuff down.
Well, the thing is, though, is like going on tour, you and me have both been on tour with bands plenty of times. I mean, I know you still, like you said, go out of town with the filming. I don't know how many like punk houses you stay at anymore, but like when we all lived at Dag House and shit, you know, we always had bands staying over, and Ty would always make like a small pot of regular chili and then a big pot of vegan chili. I was always just like, there's something fucking wrong with this picture. Like, what is wrong with all these kids wanting to be fucking vegans, vegetarians, whatever. But, I mean, I don't care anymore. But, like, I always just thought it was like, wouldn't you make the bigger one, the one with meat in it? Don't more people eat meat than not? But I guess in that specific scene, it's probably half and half.
Yeah.
So is there any way for you to just... Is it one of those things where if the cheese is on the sandwich is ruined, or can you take off the cheese?
I've gotten better about that. I can take the cheese off. I'll do the same thing with pizza sometimes. I won't, like, sit there and pick every little bit off of it, but I'll just take enough off that it blends in with the rest of the toppings.
There it is. All right.
So, like... Oh, go ahead, Sheer. Go ahead.
Have you had the tomato pie before? That's something they always bring from Philadelphia when they come into town.
Is that something that is up in Cleveland?
No, it's a Philly thing, apparently. It's like a deep dish pizza with no cheese. It's just like tomatoes. It's really good.
I've never heard of that.
I'd probably be into that.
Yeah. When you're out that way, just look for a tomato pie. It's very, very good.
Yeah, it sounds good.
You just did the Italian thing.
But, like, it's – when I'm at work, my regular job will have, like, potluck days or luncheons or whatever, and it's always, like, the entire day, like – I always make something up instead of telling somebody that I don't like cheese, because then it becomes like a thing.
Well, why not?
First it becomes that. And then the next time around, somebody makes a point to make something else that I also don't want, but they've made it specially for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, it's just a never ending battle of, just me being annoyed both at myself and everyone else.
It's just like, and it's like, it's such a weird thing, because it's like, it's not like you don't appreciate that person going out of their way to do that for you, but it's like, look, I don't want to be rude, but like, I don't want you to do this for me. Like,
yeah,
it's a weird balance.
And I mean, if you take that out of it, like, in most cases, I don't really want some random crockpot meat from somebody that I don't know. I don't know.
I love random crockpot meat. I am almost never disappointed with something that has been slow cooked to the point where it's nice and stringy. Yeah, love it. That's me.
Well, I mean, half the time you're eating anything like that, I made it.
Yeah, either you made it or some lovely lady that is trying to impress me with her slow cooker skills.
Oh, by the way, Yutzi, I had to compliment you on your shirt. I'm surprised it's not a Beverly Hills Cop shirt, though.
I should have coordinated and worn my Beverly Hills Cop hat with it. This is the Church of Eddie Murphy.
Just like I have the Church of Jericho.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like my room, since we've been locked down, I feel like I'm making it into like a tomb. Yeah. So I'm just like all these relics of Eddie Murphy and other stupid shit all over the place.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like if they ever build me a tomb, the first thing I want put on top of me is my Festival of Friendship place that. And then I want my unopened Freebirds right next to me.
That would be awesome.
So you guys are not getting burned, huh?
Mm. No, I still want that, but I want those to go in with me.
Yeah,
nobody else can have them.
I haven't really thought about what I'm going to do. It's kind of like that Always Sunny line, just throw me in the trash, I guess.
I've brought this up many times. I love what George Carlin, his first idea for what he wanted. I think it's in his book, Napalm and Silly Putty. He said he wishes that when he goes, or, you know, when he went, that they would have just taken his plane up in a helicopter, flew around for a little bit, and then just threw him out, and where he lands is where he lands.
Well, mostly, like, especially as I look around all the dumb things that I've accumulated, like, all I can think is, man, someone's going to have to deal with this one day. Like, they're not going to know what to sell and what to throw in the garbage. Probably most of it should just get thrown away.
Isn't that a shame? So Shear, let's probe with some cheese questions. What you got?
Well, is it the smell that gets you more than anything else, or is it the texture? Like, what is it about cheese that just, as soon as it gets near your face, you know this is a bad time?
I you know, the smell doesn't bother me that bad, unless it's specific kinds of cheese. Like, I have very vivid memories of working at Wendy's when the bacon mushroom cheddar melt came out.
Yeah.
And, like, the smell of that hours-long congealed liquid cheddar cheese mixed with dish soap. Like, I can still... The smell was so strong, you could taste it.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. I mean, I think that would upset anybody. But
yeah.
Some of the, like, stronger cheeses, like Gouda and Feta, blue cheese, that smell can be a little upsetting, but doesn't send me running out of the room or anything like that.
You just don't. Oh, go ahead, Shear. Sorry, bud.
So it's just, is it the texture and the is it the flavor of the cheese, or is it the texture of the cheese?
I think it's the flavor. It's strange because the cheeses that truly upset me, I don't try often enough to really remember what they taste like. But
right,
it I know it as soon as it hits me.
Yeah.
So, all right. Then I don't think we covered this already. Like, when, like, how early of an age do you remember being like, I don't like this. I don't like cheese.
I think it had to have happened around when, sometime between the age of 3 and 5.
Oh, wow. Early, early.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably some sort of traumatic event that maybe set me off, because it wasn't just cheese that was off the table then. Like, it took me a long time to get back to eating red meat. A lot of vegetables I didn't come around to until I was an adult. There's something about cheese that I could never quite recover from. And every now and then, like, I will tell myself to just get over it and just get a sandwich as is. And because I know I can do that, because the funny thing is, like, I go through these phases in my life where I eat, like I'm in the army, because I'll do like strength training. So every meal is chicken and rice, chicken and broccoli, and some right. form of fat. And I don't really care for any of what I'm eating, but because it's like a utility kind of function, I can just throw it down.
Yeah.
I can drink, you know, nasty protein powders. I'm a very just strange person.
So you talked about trauma. Do you remember having to eat cheese out of a hole? I mean, could that be a thing?
Thankfully, I don't remember having to do that.
It okay. rubs the cheese on its skin.
You know, because I do remember a time where somebody asked me to eat a mozzarella cheese stick out of their asshole.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you know, there were good and bad.
I'll lick a butthole, but I'm not eating food out of a butthole, especially something that is the shape of a turd.
We could talk about, like, a taquito.
I mean,
the mozzarella is the beef one.
Yeah, the beef taquitos. That's actually a status check in my family. It's like, are you eating taquitos? No? Okay, you're fine. Because I would come home after a night of drinking and go taquitos, and immediately vomit all over the place. So they just did that to me. But no, there are good parts to eating cheese out of a butthole. Like the cheese will take on the flavor of the butthole. So you're getting...
Okay, so cheese that tastes like shit.
No, cheese tastes like butthole. Butthole doesn't taste like shit.
No, not a clean one. Yeah. Definitely not a clean one. But, you know, if you're going to do that, even if you know the person's clean, like they just took a shower, you might want to take a, you know, just like a little baby wipe and do a little... You know, a little clockwise, counterclockwise swirl right around the ring piece. You know what I'm saying? And then you...
My friend for Christmas bought me a little spritz bottle. It's called Booty Mist.
Booty Mist?
Yeah.
Is it specifically for...
Oh, Booty Mint. I misspoke. Let me see if I have it. Oh, it's probably buried at the moment.
But is that specifically for, like, hey, I'm going to eat your butthole. I want to taste it like mint.
I guess I didn't think about that, but maybe.
Because, like, I didn't know if it was a fragrance thing or, like, an edible thing. Because you know how, like, they have those gels that, like blowjob gels that make your dick taste like strawberries or whatever?
I think it's, like, you ever hear that commercial on – other podcasts for bedelegance.
Mm-mm.
It's like bidet mixed with elegance. I know a lot about butt cleaning products.
Clean assholes.
But I would endorse Booty Mint just for overall feeling well-being.
I'm gonna need you to text me after this. I need to find out if
I'll find it.
This is because now I'm just curious because, with my fiance, that's an area I'm not allowed anywhere near. So this is just simply for curiosity and science. I want to know if it's made for, fragrance or if it's made for taste.
I don't know. I think minty butthole is a little strong because you already get that strong flavor from the butthole. I don't think you need to add mint on it.
I mean, it's not really if it's a clean butthole, it's not really a strong flavor.
You never gone, Mamma Mia, that's a spicy butthole.
No, I have not. In most cases, it's just a very smooth situation here. Hey, well, Jason, did you expect to talk about eating assholes today?
Hey, I mean, it's whatever. I don't know if I want my own butthole politics getting out there.
No, see, but that's where I draw the line. And a lot of people
I've made it sound like I do have, like...
You have butthole politics to bring up.
Yeah.
Butthole politics.
I'm just trying to stay neutral. On the butthole issue, I do like to be sanitary, though.
Yeah. So you don't flip flop.
Oh God, I keep saying things that just get more and more suggestive, and I'm trying to.
What he's saying? He's got a butthole eating bib, and a butthole eating wife.
All right, now here's the thing on that. Like the butthole bib, I can understand that being reusable, but like the wipe, I mean, are we talking? I that's something I just feel like you just need like some regular old Johnson & Johnson. Do, like I said, just a swipe around the ring piece and you're good to go. Put your bib on and hope nothing comes out. You certainly don't want anything to come out.
Look, I have to squash it right now. I'm not up to any butthole stuff.
No?
No, for real, I'm not. I just like to clean my butt.
Yeah, sure. I mean, if cleaning your butt takes you 15 minutes with three fingers, you know, hey, that's just cleaning your butthole. as far as what I was going to say, though, and I've brought this up before, but Cutesy, I don't know if we've talked about, like, I had a girl one time, this is, you know, 5-6 years ago, who I met on one of those fucking Tinders or OkCupid or whatever the fuck. And the first time that we ever started messing around, she was going down on me and like was, I when I say forcefully, I don't mean she was like trying to restrain me. She was just being adamant, but like she was like, I want to eat your ass. And this is the first time, by the way. And I'm like, nah, I'm good on that. She goes, have you ever had anybody do it before? I'm like, nah, I'm good on that. And she's like, well, all you have to do, she goes, well, just, you know, take off your pants and put your legs in the air. I'm like, what nah, I'm good on that, did you not get? I don't want your touch. This is the way I always put it. That is a part of my body that nobody else needs to see. Maybe a doctor.
Did you say a duck?
Doctor.
Oh, okay. No, he said a duck. He goes to the park and moons ducks. Hey, quack this! Quack, 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 quack.
Hey, I can make that sound too.
That reminded me for some reason of... do you remember that angle with... where Kurt Angle was obsessed with Booker T's wife?
Yeah.
Those were some of the strangest promos in wrestling that I've ever seen, because Kurt Angle, and you could tell like from the cadence in his voice that Vince McMahon was really hyped up backstage beforehand. And like, you could just hear it in Vince's voice when Kurt Angle goes, Booker T, I want to have sex with your wife. Not that normal kind of sex. I'm talking about that bestiality sex.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was a real line spoken in wrestling. It was so, like, I mean, Vince McMahon is having a bad couple of months with all that, just with everything, and then Dark Side of the Ring. But if anybody dug up some of that stuff that was on the air, like, circa 2005...
Well, I mean, dude,
it just got so weird.
I mean, the thing is like, why in this cancel culture that we have now, I don't understand how, and I don't really care. I mean, I don't think he should have done it, but it, I also don't give a shit. When he said, when he walks by Cena and goes, what's up, my nigga? And he walks by Booker T and goes, what the hell did he just say? Or he did not just say that or whatever. How does the owner of a billion-dollar company get away with that on live TV 15 years later when there's proof of it? But, and I'm not defending this guy, but Louis C.K. jerked off in front of some people and cancel him. Like, and I'm all for that because fuck that guy. But, like, how does Vince McMahon get away with these repeated offenses? Money?
I think, there's that, but I think he can also say, well, that was the Vince McMahon character.
Yeah, but can you that say that word on television? I mean, apparently
you can.
Yeah. I think that was pay-per-view.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember which one it was, though.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing, though. So I just bought the complete series of Reno 911. Got it on Amazon for $20, brand new, which is pretty sweet.
Are you about to bring up the donut skit?
Yeah. Like, that's... That's the first episode within, like, the first 5 minutes of that show. And she says it, and it's not bleeped out. It wasn't bleeped out in the original airing of it. So I wonder if that's just changed over time or something like that.
I bet that probably wouldn't fly today.
No.
But
that show wouldn't fly today. Me and Chelsea were watching it. We were like, oh, they could not get away with any of this.
They did a new season. It just came out. Yeah, but I don't know because I'm not going to download Quibi.
Well, apparently I'm going to wait until all of it airs, because from what I understand is this Quibi thing is – I only understand this for Reno. I don't know how it is for everything else. So they're only like 10 to 12-minute episodes, and I don't know if they all got released at once or if they're getting released like weekly – but they're doing this 3-month free trial membership. So I'm going to wait until all of Reno airs or whatever, or whenever I find out I can watch it, sign up for it, watch Reno, and then delete Quibi because I don't need another fucking app.
Yeah. I mean, on some level, I hope it works out because I like Thomas Lennon a lot. And
oh, yeah.
I hope they get to keep making more shows, but
love Robert Ben Garen. I love Wendy McClendon Covey. Like, she's great.
I'm in the middle of reading their screenwriting book right now. Actually.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. I love those guys.
Yeah, it's really funny.
So, has cheese ever made you puke?
Close. It's made me spit food out. Before.
Okay.
But I don't think I've ever been brought to vomit from cheese. I do remember when I was extremely young, there was this medicine I had to take, and a lot of medicine for kids, probably still the case, but all of it was liquid when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And there was this one medication I had to take. I don't remember for what or why, but because I wasn't really like sick all the time or anything like that. But the medication itself tasted like actual vomit. And I think my mom experimented by trying to hide it in different foods, and then maybe that's where it possibly manifested from.
Okay.
I don't want to blame her, because I mean, she did everything she could to try to, you know.
Oh no, your mom's a sweet lady.
Keep me healthy.
sure.
So I don't want it to sound like I didn't eat any vegetables, because I did. Just I was extremely picky about pretty much everything.
Gotcha.
So maybe that's what it is. Maybe she hid the medicine and some cheese, and you've just never gotten past that.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Could be.
It's very traumatic. It's a very traumatic experience.
Well, I know that, you know, after I had a traumatic experience when I was a kid, getting, you know, a tube rammed down my throat, I still don't like having anything rammed down my throat, so I understand.
Unless it's a cock.
No, even then, not a fan. You have to hold my head there and just jam it in. Otherwise, I'm just going to start throwing up.
So you, Jason, you've been on the road on and off for a few years now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll get into some of that, but like any experiences on the road where like a meal was ruined for you because, or like, did you have to go buy other food because, you know, something has anything like that happened?
Probably. Nothing really comes to mind, but there is one kind of funny story, because the other guy I mean, there's a few other guys, but the director of photography, he and I have been really close friends for a long time. And he's a vegetarian. So a lot of the places we filmed in have been in the South, like Arkansas, places like that. One time we interviewed somebody and then their family prepared like a buffet for us with all kinds of stuff. And it was all stuff that he and I wouldn't eat. And we were out on the porch basically bitching about it. Like, not about the people, because we were saying this is really nice that they did this, but we keep ending up in these situations. And it turns out like these people were very security centric, so they could hear everything we were saying on the porch because they had microphones and cameras everywhere. So we were pretty bummed out about that. Because we weren't upset with them. We were just, you know, we were filming. Yeah, it was like a 14-hour day. And
so this was why don't you get, so we can kind of put this in context, because I kind of want to go back and touch on the security camera thing. Why don't you give a synopsis of what you've been doing the last few years?
I started going out with my friends in Small Town Monsters.
Which is a production company.
Yeah, it's a film production company. We mostly produce cryptozoological centric stuff. We've done films on the Mothman, Boggy Creek Monster, Bigfoot in his various iterations. We just wrapped up a TV show called On the Trail UFOs that's available on Amazon.
It's $11.99, and I'm gonna buy it today, actually.
Oh, dude, I could send you a Blu-ray.
Oh, why don't you do that? That'd be awesome.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad to be doing it. Never expected to be doing it. I just kind of fell into it. And
I was going to say, I remember it just kind of fell into your lap and you just kind of ran with it, and you guys keep yourselves pretty busy.
Yeah. Seth is, I've never seen anybody work as hard as Seth, because we've put out 9 movies and 3 seasons of TV within the past 5 years, and we don't outsource any of the work. He edits all of it.
Oh, shit.
So it's been crazy. It's been fun. And I remember when he asked me to work on the first film that I did with them, and I remember thinking, okay, we'll get out there, he'll realize that he's gonna need somebody who knows what they're doing, and this will be a fun one and done kind of thing. And 7 movies later, I'm
still here
doing it and still picking up new roles.
What role do you play in this, like, specifically? Because I know you said there's a director of photography, blah blah blah. What do you do mostly?
The 2 primary things as of late have, well, I guess I can't even say it's just 2. I do the live sound recording. Whether it be interviews or if we're doing some sort of narrative sequence. I do writing for some of the narrative stuff. I film most of our behind the scenes stuff, and I do like set photography and behind the scenes photography. And then like just kind of paperwork, getting people to sign releases and stuff.
So kind of like a jack of all trades kind of thing, like you do what needs done.
Yeah, I think that's true for pretty much everybody on the crew. I mean, everybody's got their primary thing, but like I think we all just want to eat.
Yeah.
So we're all just doing as much as we can to get to the meal.
I prefer when like a group
that's of not people to say are, the work isn't fun, because it's so much fun.
But it's still work. I mean, it's still work either way, but like I love when a group of people are working together. And I hate that, oh, well, that's not my job. It's like, well, we're all working towards one goal here. So if I need you to do this while I'm working on this, do you want to be part of this or not? You know?
Well, yeah, and there's another dimension of it where our director, Seth, this is his full-time job. He's managed to support his family with this. So, you know, you want to make sure you're doing everything you can to just make it work.
Yeah.
So he can keep doing his thing. And in effect, we all can then.
Work.
And with all that, with all this new career, you don't have to worry about spending any of your money on cheese. No cheese budget.
I still work a regular full-time job because
it ain't paying the bills yet.
Yeah, one of these days, you know, it's the long-term plan that this will all be our thing, but it's especially at the moment with the virus, we don't know what's going to go on. We expected an uptick in viewership when that happened, but, you know, our UFO documentary came out the weekend that everything kind of went on lockdown. So we're hoping it's going to see a re-release at some point soon, though, through a new distributor.
Well, when you send me a copy, after I watch it, I'll make sure I pimp the shit out of it. I mean, I have three goddamn Twitter accounts for different stuff. So get it around.
It was crazy while we were working on it, because the day that all that storm Area 51 stuff really took off, we were in a car on our way to Area 51.
Oh, wow.
And we did a Facebook Live Q&A, and somebody shared it to the Storm Area 51 group. And at this point, like, none of us even know that this is a meme or anything. And all of a sudden, we're just getting roasted on Facebook Live. And it was a lot of fun. But it made going to Area 51 a lot more exciting, because all of a sudden, like, a weird amount of people watched that Facebook Live video.
Yeah.
And, like, I started to worry, like, oh, people are going to say we're actually storming 51 right now. And we're going to get pulled over and have our shit taken from us.
Oh, man. That's my favorite meme from that whole thing was when somebody, I won't say what the picture was, but it says, you're storming Area 51. The guards have almost killed everybody, and all hope is almost lost. And then it's a picture of Stone Cold, and it says, and then the glass breaks. And, like, I just picture, like, that's a movie I want to see. Like, I want that to be a movie where people storm Area 51, they're all getting killed, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin comes in on his fucking four-wheeler and then just gets off, starts stunning people. It's a fun movie right there.
Dude, there was never a better pop than that glass breaking.
It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Sheer, what's your favorite pop of all time?
My favorite pop of all time? Probably when Benoit won the title.
Ah, okay.
I remember being pretty blown away by that. I didn't think that was going to happen.
I don't think anybody thought that.
No, but that was, you know, that was at the time, like, my big moment. But, like, going back and looking at pops, when Stone Cold showed up after Vince McMahon asked him to be the old Stone Cold and beats the shit out of everybody backstage, and then the glass breaks and people go insane.
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite.
That's a very good one. My favorite still to this day is, I have a few, but like my favorite of all time is when Jericho debuted in WWE. Like the countdown, like the build up to it was amazing. And then in the middle of a Rock promo, and then like, you know, the lights go out, that huge explosion. And then when his name flashes up and everybody in Chicago went fucking bananas. And that's my favorite of all time.
I think for me, it was just Steve Austin legitimately is my favorite of all time.
Sure.
And I mean, 97, 98. I remember Monday Night Raw always used to run over to like 11:07.
Yep.
And like for pretty much 2 years straight, the whole plot of the show was Vince McMahon is not going to let Steve Austin be on the show tonight. In some form or another, he's going to get arrested. And 14-year-old me, I'm like, oh, shit. They're really not going to let him be on TV. And it would be like 11:03, and I would just be sweating. Like, the show's almost done, and I would just jump out of bed when that glass would break.
Oh, yeah. But, just come out with an ass.
Now, like, of course, you're going to have the number one star in the world on your show. But yeah, back then, I thought it was like a real possibility.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Austin, like my favorite, because this one's personal to me. When Austin got screwed out of the title, I want to say it was King of the Ring 98. And then Kane beat him for the title. And then the next night was in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of the show, they rolled out, you know, they put the red carpet on the mat. They had the stand for the belt. And Kane, Paul Bearer, and Vince are, you know, presenting the belt to Kane. And then the fucking glass breaks. And Stone Cold, the place, like, Cleveland is, they used to be, notoriously a crazy crowd.
I was there that night.
Oh, you were there too?
Yeah.
Dude, when he goes, if you want to see me get my belt back, whip Kane's ass, give me a hell yeah. I swear that was the loudest hell yeah that ever happened.
When he won the title back later that night, the dude next to me, like, was so pumped that his arms were flailing and his elbow came straight down on my skull. So, I mean, it was one of the greatest moments for me ever to see a title change like that in person, but I almost got knocked out in the process.
I almost got knocked out and don't remember it.
Modern pops, though. When Becky Lynch turned heel on Charlotte Flair and everybody went ballistic, that made me really happy.
And cheered her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was modern pops? God. Which, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and circle back to this real quick. The reason, well, it's our podcast. We can talk about whatever we want. But to make this relevant, Head Cheese was a tag team. So I'll leave that there.
I do remember that.
Modern pops, though, like, sure, when you say modern, like, what are we talking, last 10 years?
Yeah, sure.
Modern pop, last 10 years. That's easy. When the Hardy Boys came back a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
That's lost actually my fucking mind.
That's actually I ended up being there for that one, too.
Dude, well, I mean, like, all right, so I watched Supercard of Honor the night before when they dropped the belt to the Bucks, which, by the way, one of the best tag team ladder matches that has ever happened. And they dropped the belt to the Bucks, and, like, everybody's like, oh, they're going to go to WWE, going to go to WWE. And, like, Matt and Jeff were, like, so adamant. They were like, no. We're having this match. We're going home. And then they were like, Sunday, we're doing a signing in the morning, and then we're hopping on a plane and going back to North Carolina. So after they did their signing, they hopped in a car that drove them It drove them around, like looked like it was going in the direction of the airport, and they circled back around and got in a dip, from what I understand, a different car with like darker windows, and like nobody knew they were there until like they were walking up to Gorilla. Like the only people that knew were like obviously the people in the know, the New Day, and then the guys in the ring. I think that's the only people that knew. And like what I love about, because I've watched that video so many times, like when the New Day is like, who could it be? And everybody, who? And the New Day looks like they're about to start walking down the ramp. Mm-hmm. And then the fucking music hits. And just hearing everybody go ballistic was awesome.
That was absolutely, the most hyped the crowd was at any point in the night.
I believe it.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
Modern pops.
Yeah.
I will. Okay. It was
Nia Jax.
2011.
Ooh.
When Cult of Personality hit for the first time in WWE. And okay. CM Punk came out. And I've grown to be a little bit irritated with CM Punk, but
okay.
Like, when he had his the Summer of Punk, that was easily for me the most exciting time to be a wrestling fan in a long time.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fair. And I'm glad you said that about Punk, because I've always respected the dude, always respected his work. The pipe bomb was crazy. Conversations about CM Punk is how you and me became friends. Like, yeah. That's how it all started. And I, like, love hearing Cult of Personality. Like I said, the pipe bomb promo. But ever since he left wrestling, he has had such a self-serving negative attitude. And I get that he's always been one of those guys that he lives by his own rules. That's fine. I respect that. But don't shit on the thing that made you a millionaire, man. You know what I mean? You can shit on WWE all you want. Don't shit on wrestling. Don't shit on wrestlers. And just because you got your ass kicked in MMA doesn't, you know, I don't know. Guy irritates me these days.
I respect him for doing what he's done. I just think, you know, that was the number one thing I would want to see in wrestling again, is him be back, and just see him blow it on backstage. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
And if he ever does come back now, it's just like,
well, they're saying he might be the hacker. They're saying he might be the SmackDown hacker.
Man, if they bring him back in front of an empty crowd, or an empty arena, rather.
What a waste. What a waste.
I feel so bad. Like, I wanted Drew to lose only because I wanted him to win his title in front of a crowd.
Yeah, same here. Same
after
here.
He came back from being rendered obsolete.
Yeah.
That 100%. Sucks that his moment was like that.
Yeah.
What about you, Shear?
What? Oh, I already said my modern pop.
Which one was it? I'm sorry.
Becky Lynch turning on Charlotte.
Right. Oh, also of the last, I do have to say, all right, so the Hardy Boys, I'll say that's my WWE one, because I was at All In and I was at Double or Nothing when the Jericho reveal, when he dressed up as Pentagon and then pulled the mask off, that place, like the roof blew off that place and it was awesome. That one, and then my other favorite one was at Double or Nothing when nobody knew this, but Awesome Kong came out. And I love Awesome Kong, but I was not expecting the reaction she got. That place was fucking nuts. It was so cool. And I was like, good for her, man. No.
Yeah, I guess modern, I should have been a little more recent, so I'll also say Kevin Owens' clean win on John Cena.
Oh, yeah.
That first pay-per-view match.
I did also want to mention when Kofi won the belt at Mania, that was like, dude, that was the first title change in a long time that like brought a tear to my eye. I was like, holy shit, it finally happened, and it happened to the best guy possible.
I just came on your show drunk and co-opted it into a wrestling program.
Well,
that's all right. We don't mind that.
It happens sometimes. I do have to ask, though, are you lactose intolerant?
Mildly, yeah.
Mildly. And,
usually that's one of the excuses that I'll throw out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I love ice cream, so.
Yeah. I also love ice cream and lactose intolerant, so I will, like, do something terrible to my friends where I order a milkshake, and they know I'm going to clear the place out.
Yeah.
It's my belief that I like, honestly, I'm not just being an asshole. It is my belief that all humans are lactose intolerant. I do think that some people are less susceptible to it for whatever reason, but every other mammal in the world does not drink milk past infancy, and especially other mammals' milk. So, I mean, I'm weird about dairy. I like dairy products, but like, I think milk is abhorrent. I think it's disgusting.
Well, I definitely notice, I mean, not even just digestive stuff, but if I have dairy, I just don't feel great in general.
Yeah. I just get gassy. And then occasionally I will have a pint of ice cream to clear myself out. Like when I've eaten something really rough, it's just like, well, time to go get the ice cream because I got to work this out.
Jeremy's like, you know what? I'm going to eat a salad of just dark greens and kale, and it's gonna clean me up. And then to wash it all out, a gallon of ice cream.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's kind of like, if my stomach is already upset, like that's when I'm gonna eat really bad because it's already over. So,
yeah,
you know what? That is a very good point. Like when your stomach's upset, and like, you know, let's say you got the Rhea or something like that, and you know you're not gonna feel good, and you know whatever you eat's gonna make you shit anyway, eat whatever the fuck you want then. You know,
yeah. Unless I'm throwing up or something.
Exactly, exactly.
Then you want to throw up whatever hurts less.
Yeah.
There it is. Speaking of what hurts less, where can we find you on the internets, Jason?
On Twitter, I don't really tweet much, but it's at STM. No, wait, it's at JUTESSTM. And then I'm on Facebook, but not really an exciting internet guy.
Making movies.
I just kind of pop in every now and then and say some weird stuff or
tell people one more time where they can find your Small Town Monsters.
Small Town Monsters, also on Facebook, Twitter. A ton of our movies are free for Prime subscribers at the moment. Momo, the Missouri Monster, is my current favorite because I got to co-write a fake B-horror movie nestled within a fake late-night horror host talk show mixed with an actual documentary. So it was it's a strange combination, but it's the most fun I've ever had creatively. And any Cleveland listeners, if they're familiar with The Mummy and the Monkey, we were able to cast Janet Decay in a small role in the beginning. And it was just a lot of fun.
All right.
Awesome.
But search Small Town Monsters on Amazon Prime and you'll find, like seven of our titles right now.
All the titles are up there. Some of them are free, and then some of them are available for purchase.
Yeah, I always like the newest stuff because it's really, you can tell that this whole deal was a trial by fire for all of us. Like,
yeah,
literally Seth one day just got his camera and started making movies, and they keep getting better, but you can tell the beginning we were finding our footing a little bit. 2017 on is solid, and Beast of Whitehall was earlier than that, and that's a great one too.
Right on, man.
I can say that one's great because I didn't work on it.
Fair enough.
All right, so Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates cheese as much as Jason Mutes.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.